guys. Well, I forgot to say earlier, welcome to 2018. That was a major thing that happened this week, wasn't it? Hi. It seems like a long time ago to me somehow, though. I don't know. Clear last Monday. One thing that I also want to mention is that we had an amazing setup team this morning. And without some visualization ahead of time, we certainly could not have put this together so that it feels like church, doesn't it? It really does. Yeah. So thank you to our setup team. You're awesome. Let's give them a hand. And we even have sound, and that was a little bit of a big question mark, but it all worked out. Somebody found the right switch to flip, and we're in business. So 2018, you know, when I planned this sermon series, it was in July of 2017, and the sermon series that I chose to bring in the new year with was called New Vision, New Year, New Vision, sorry, New Year, New Vision. And little did I know at the time that we were going to be having a brand new start, because it was less than 2 months ago that we found out we were going to be moving and resettling somewhere else. And the thing I wanted to point out about that and share with you all is that God knew. God knew. And one thing that I had been coached on over this last year was to plan ahead with sermon series. Go out for a whole year ahead. And I'd never done that before. So I sat down in July and I prayed and said, God, show me what, you know, we need to be talking about and studying ahead of time. Thinking, you know, he usually gives me one series ahead of time. But God knows more than I do. He knows out further than I do. And he knew exactly that at this time we were heading into something brand new. Now, last week at the end of the service, as we always do, or at the end of the sermon time, we had next steps. And next steps are things that we can use to apply from what we've learned at church that week. One of the next steps was going to be to try to find places that God showed up in our day. Did anyone remember to notice where Jesus showed up in your week, this last week? Some people are nodding yes. Is there anyone who would be willing to share just a short testimony about where you've seen God show up? Sure, you can stand up. Hey guys. Cody.
I've been really struggling with surrender recently and just really trying to take things for myself instead of receive from God. And it was honestly just making me miserable. And I met with Ted and just like sought counsel, you know, and he, like, I basically sold my car and just made a bad financial decision, and I was going to try and finance my way out of it. And he was just like, that's honestly just in this situation, that's not living by faith. That's trying to control everything and get what you want. And I was like, fine, like, I won't do it. And it made, I wanted to just finance. And so I didn't do it, and I just surrendered to God. And, like, I get to my house, and apparently one of the old roommates, like, left a bike there. So, like, I was literally walking home from the bus stop, and it was, like, 2 miles. I'm like, man, I cannot do this. I need to finance a car. And there's a bike in my garage for me, you know? And then a couple days later, like, some guy shows up and buys my car, and then I find a truck, and it's just God provides, you know? And, like, so that's it. Thanks.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Anybody else want to share where they saw God show up in their week this week? Gail.
I had the privilege to go down to Patagonia And I don't know how many of you know this, but I'm insulin-dependent diabetic. And my insulin pen stopped working. And here I was in a foreign country without my insulin. And I thought, okay, two more days, can I make it? But everything you eat has carbs in it. So my blood sugar started climbing. And we got to the airport on the way back. And we just stopped by the pharmacy at the airport. And I showed them my pen and I said it stopped working. And they just gave me replacements without prescription or anything. And there's no other way but God.
Praise God. Praise God. Where else did God show up in your week this week?
For the new year, people like me could lose some weight, right? So we were praying and say, Lord, help us with that. And one of the first things that stuck out was we were reading through salad dressing things, and it said, all these things that are not very good for you to eat. And then the drink that I had was high fructose corn syrup, and that one's not very good either. So he was speaking to us about discipline and using your mind, so that yesterday I made my own salad dressing with just oil and vinegar and drank juice instead. And so we're just seeking him to make changes in disciplining our life.
Some choices. You're making some choices. Good job. Anybody else? One more? Where did you see God show up this week? I saw God show up this week. I, as some of you know, ended up with chronic vertigo several years ago and migraines, and that's how I started the new year this week. And I praise God because, 4 years ago, I would still be flat on my back on my couch or in my bed suffering from that. And he has brought a great deal of healing to me so that as my week progressed and as I was wise and made choices, I found myself feeling better again. And I am great today. And rather than it being months on end, it was a few days. And I praise him for that because he is our healer. And he has brought a great deal of healing to my life in many ways, emotionally, mentally, and also physically. Thank you for sharing your stories of where you found Jesus this week. So this series is New Year, New Vision. In particular, this week's plan, and believe me, this was planned in July, is New Start. And it's coming up on the screen right now. New start. God knew. It just overwhelms me that God goes before us. And we've been talking about that over the last few months. God often foreshadows things, and we don't even clearly see it until we're either in it or past it. But let's take notice today that God knew exactly what he was doing. And even though less than a month ago, we had no idea where we would be on this first Sunday in 2018, God knew exactly where we'd be. And this is a place that we can just thank God for providing. He is amazing. He is the provider. And he consistently leads us. He consistently leads us with a combination of boldness and courage, but never without our choice of obedience. This is the second move that we've made since I've been your pastor, and it makes me feel a little bit like one of those parents, you know, that keeps ripping their kids out of their school or out of their neighborhood and saying, come on, kids, we're moving. But actually, that's what God is doing. He's saying, come on, kids, we're moving. And I can often see a parallel between the children of Israel and our story. And I know that I have paralleled those before, but to me, it is just a story that's worth repeating. That God led the people of Israel into the promised land. And when we left the building we owned 2.5 years ago, we had owned it for 50 years, we metaphorically crossed the Jordan River into the promised land. We did not wander in the desert. That time was behind us. But what we did do is camp out, just like the people of Israel did. After they crossed the river, they camped out for quite a while. And then it was time to move. And when God said it was time to move, he said, "You're going to take the city of Jericho." And so they prepared themselves. And they did exactly what God instructed them to do. And it didn't make a lot of sense to them then. March around the city quietly for 6 times, and then on the 7th time, march around and then make as much noise as you can. And then the walls came tumbling down of the city. Most of us know that story. And these people were obedient. But how much courage did that take to do that? And how bold did they have to be to march around that city? We were here last week, some of us. Were you here last week for a prayer walk? If you were, raise your hand. Yeah, we did a prayer walk. We came into this community with confidence and boldness and courage, and we walked around and we said, "God, this is your land. This is yours, and all the people in it are yours." In fact, in Psalm 24, David proclaims, "All the land is God's and all the people in it." Before we were here in this building, before we ended up moving from Beaverton to Hillsboro, God was already in Hillsboro. He has already claimed this land. He's claimed Washington County. He's claimed Oregon. He's claimed the United States of America. He's claimed the world, because all the land belongs to God. It's all his anyway. And what he wants are people who are attuned to the master who will steward the land. Are you ready to steward what God has given us? Yes. Say yes. Yes. Our stance is one of obedience. And when we mix our obedience with a courage and a boldness, then we are marching with God. Now, Moses had led the people of Israel out of Egypt after a very, very long captivity, 400 years. And they were led out from slavery into, well, what turned out to be the desert. But it was the path, the trek to go to the new land. And initially, it was amazing. Can you imagine getting to a river and having it part? And walking across it on dry land, and then the people who were in pursuit of you, who were like, "I want you back here as my slave," when they came, the water just engulfed them and killed them. Can you imagine being the people of Israel and looking at that and saying, "Our God is amazing! Our God is awesome!" And then they were really thirsty. And so Moses actually stood between God and the people of Israel. Moses was able to get water through God's power to spring from a rock so that these people could have something to drink. Can you imagine that? Wouldn't you say, "My God is so amazing"? And then they needed lead. And they were led by a pillar of clouds in the day and a pillar of fire at night. And God was with them. how can you not say, my God is amazing? But then it got to be ordinary. It got to be the status quo, didn't it? And the people began to, what do they say in the Bible? Grumble. They began to complain a little bit. These people had known no other way of life for 400 years. So what that means is that their parents were slaves. Their grandparents were slaves. Their great-grandparents were slaves. Their aunts and uncles were slaves. All of their neighbors were slaves. That's all they knew. And when it was time to grasp hold of freedom, they didn't quite know how to do that. Can you imagine being a captive all of your life and suddenly having the opportunity to be free? Oh, wait. We don't need to imagine that, do we? How many people here can testify that you were once a captive to sin, to death, to darkness, and you were given the ability to make a choice for freedom? That feels amazing. Don't you want to say, my God is amazing, my God is great? Do you remember that feeling you had when you were a new baby Christian? Oh, wow. It felt so good when I became a Christian. I had so much joy and peace, and I was happy. And I was living in that place for a good few months when suddenly those feelings left, and I didn't like it. And I admit I started to grumble. I started to do some complaining. And there was one Sunday morning that I, during our music and prayer time, I came to what we called the altar at the time. It's kind of like what we use as a cross center now, just to seek God, partly to explain to him that I had a very different job description in mind for him than he seemed to be working out in my life. My job description for him was that I was supposed to be happy and he was supposed to make me happy. Well, I found out that his job description for himself was that he wanted me to grow. He wanted me to grow in him and not just stay a baby Christian on the floor playing with my little toys, having a good time drinking milk. He wanted me to grow up. And there was a woman who came beside me, and she helped me understand that. She was more mature in her faith. And she helped me understand that, yes, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and you've never felt anything like it before. You've never felt anything like it until you experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And God is there with you. And then he starts looking around your life a little bit, and he says, there seems to be areas of your heart that are encased. You've encased those areas. And my response to God was, yes, I have, for very good reason. They're not pretty. I don't want to look at them. It's better that they stay hard and encased, and let's just be happy. But what God does is say, no, that's not enough. There's more for you. I want growth for you. I want freedom for you. And you're not going to know real freedom until we break the chains of all the slavery, everything that has enslaved you. You see, a pattern is instilled in us. A pattern is instilled. It was instilled in the Israelites. And the pattern was instilled because they came from generation after generation after generation before them of slavery, and they knew no other way. And as they became free, they had to learn a new way. They had to learn dependence on God. And so that happened over time. And our patterns are ingrained in us. And the very same process of seeing those patterns broken is the same process or a similar one that the Egyptian people or the Israelite people had to go through. And what they were faced with was to decide whether they were going to hang on to how they were feeling, which after a while they got used to God giving them water. You know what? He even gave them food that fell from the sky called manna. And after a while they're like, we're kind of tired of the same thing every day. And so he's like, okay, here's some quail. Come running through your camp. You got meat at night and you get bread in the morning. Yet they were like, this isn't enough, God. We want more. And they stood at a crossroads of saying, God, we literally want more of you rather than we want you to make us happy. See, there was a difference there. Their job description for God was, you're supposed to make us happy. And his job description for himself in their life was, I want you to grow. I want you to grow into the chosen people I have designed you to be. And what got them was unbelief. And they wandered in the desert. And do you know, they didn't wander in the desert for 40 years because the desert was so huge they couldn't get across it. They wandered in a fairly small geographical area. They were wandering until they learned obedience, until they gained courage and a sense of boldness. And it wasn't until the unbelief died out that they were able to hold on to the fullness of God's promises and move on into the promised land. You know, Jesus had a similar experience when he was in his ministry years, and he decided to go to Nazareth, which was his hometown. So he had grown up there, he had lived there, he entered ministry, and he went back there. Now, those of you who have family or very close friends might be able to relate to why Jesus would want to go back to Nazareth, to that place where those people who were closest to him resided. I know that my heart is often stirred more deeply when I see a chasm between family members of my own, or if I see someone who's really sick and who doesn't know Jesus. I want that person to come to know him, to be touched by him, to be healed by him. And Jesus went back to Nazareth with a love for his people, a strong love for his family and for his neighbors. And what they said when he got there was, isn't that Mary and Joseph's boy? We've known him for years. And others were saying, he's just a carpenter. Who does he think he is? And there were others who said, his sisters live right next door to me. And Jesus made the observation that it says he was amazed at their unbelief. In Mark 6, 5 and 6, it says, and because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their unbelief. Can unbelief and negativity really have that much of an impact? Yes. It really can have that much of an impact. We can draw a pretty clear line of this from the Israelites' experience with God, having to wait until the unbelief was burned out before they were able to move ahead, to Jesus with the expectation of the people he taught, especially those he was closest to our own journey that brings us to this place today. Because without obedience, without belief, we would not be a church. Without recognizing several years ago that the church is not the building, although we praise God for giving us a building, the church is the people. A building is a thing. The church is a living organism. It is the bride of Christ. It is the people in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. That's the church of Jesus Christ. And that is what causes us to choose to want to be obedient. As we choose to believe in what we see God doing over believing from our past what we have seen, then we move into freedom. And in essence, we move further into the promised land of our soul. Now, after the interchange that Jesus had with the people in Nazareth, it says in Mark that he went on to other villages and taught and performed miracles. And then he did something with his disciples that required boldness and courage. He sent them out, the 12 disciples, he sent them out two by two. Two by two. Go out into the world. You've been under my leadership. Now go out and do what I've done. And in Mark 6, it says that he told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick. No food, no traveling bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals. Well, thank you. But not to take a change of clothes. Wherever you go, he said, stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. These disciples were required to go out into other towns with a necessary boldness and courage mixed with their obedience to their teacher Jesus. And whether we realize it or not, our faith as Jesus followers have grown. It has grown over the last few years. We've had testing. We've had trials. We've been asked to go places that we wouldn't ordinarily on our own think of going. We have gone to the St. Child, which we go there regularly now, but the first time going to a house with unwed mothers who were expecting babies, we didn't know what we were going to do, and then we ended up pulling weeds and doing yard work, and we've embraced that. But that has been something that some of us on our own would do, but it really takes more of a group effort to be able to do it with the kind of boldness God calls the church to. We have gone to the Gleaners Association, and we thank Susan for opening the door to that ability to go and help people who are immigrants learn how our culture works and be able to provide food for them. Not only that, it is great to interact with the people who volunteer there every week. And the last time I volunteered there, one of the guys who's there every week said, thank you for giving your time. And I said, thank you for giving your time. And he said, that's what makes it all work. It's when we give of ourselves. And it doesn't always come easy. But when we do it with an obedient heart that God has called us to, with a DNA that God has given to New Vision, mixed with a boldness and a courage, then we see God doing amazing things. God gave his word to the Israelite people that they would go into the promised land. And what God says will happen, will happen. God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. When he said we were moving out of the community center, I think I mentioned this last week, I got on the website and I immediately reserved another time slot because I panicked. This is where we have church. Look at this. There's a spot open on Friday nights. I'm grabbing that spot. And within 2 days, I got an email back from the city saying declined. And I went back on the calendar, and that spot had been filled. And God said, hey, wake up, pay attention. I told you, you're moving from this place. It is time to do that. And so what God says will happen, will happen. So I want to revisit the first part of the Israelite story in the book of Joshua. And just look at the first few verses reading from where God discloses that the promise is ready to be filled. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. It is time for something new. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you." Why is that? Because God possesses all the land. He said, "It's from the Negev wilderness to south of the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He did not tell Joshua, God did not tell Joshua, "Feel strong and courageous." He told him, "Be strong and courageous." He told him, "Just do it." Have you ever tried not doubting? Or tried not being afraid? Or tried to make yourself feel something that's entirely opposite of what you're feeling inside? Think about it. If you tell yourself over and over and over, "Don't doubt, don't doubt, don't doubt," which is something Joshua could have done when he said, "You're it, man." And, you know, people were expecting Moses to lead everyone into the promised land. And then Moses wasn't there. And then it's like, "Joshua, you're it. Tag, tag, you're it. Just do it. Just go in there and be bold and courageous." He could have said to himself, "I've got to feel bold. I've got to feel courageous. Don't doubt, don't doubt, don't doubt. God said this, God said this, God said this." And tried to work up a feeling, an emotional response. How often does that work for us? How often does it work that we can change the way we feel? Not real often. But what we can do is change the way we think. We can make a choice. Then we heard a testimony about that today that had to do with a diet plan. You can make a choice to eat healthy or a choice to eat unhealthy. Now, what do you feel like eating? What do you feel like eating? Get rid of that from your house, because it is hard to overcome a feeling. But when we hear God command Joshua to be bold and courageous, it had nothing to do with feelings or emotion, but it had everything to do with choice based on what he knew about God, based on his experiences with God. Faith is not based on a feeling. Forgiveness is not based on a feeling. Courage and boldness is not based on a feeling. Obedience is not based on a feeling. All of these things are based on a choice. Joshua is told to study the book of instruction, and that's the Torah. What we would more typically know as the book of Deuteronomy. It has the Lord's instructions, and it has the moral compasses by which to live. And the word becomes the source of cohesion with God's heart. Joshua is told to always study the book of the law. It becomes the thing that brings us cohesion, that brings us together with what God wants to instill within us. God wants to instill boldness and courage. Joshua didn't have that on his own. God wouldn't have said it over and over and over if he had. We read in that verse, the verses, he said it three times to him. Be bold and courageous, be bold and courageous, be bold and courageous. He kept having to remind him of that and then study the word. Because the word, as it's shared here, means logos. And that's where we get the word logic. It's a rational principle guiding the universe and making life coherent. It's an expression of God's wisdom and creative power coming from God. It's a grounded choice that will come from a place of believing in Christ. Christ is referred to as the Word, isn't he? Do you recall in John, the first chapter, the first five verses, that it says this? In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought life to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. A grounded choice comes from believing in Christ, who is the Word, Logos, the second person of the Trinity, who became incarnate. God became human through Jesus Christ. The Word came to live with us. And then the Word ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit so that his Spirit would live within us. The Logos of God lives within us. The one that gives us logic to be able to make choices based not on feeling, but on faith. Because faith is about believing that what God says is going to happen will happen. Today we find boldness and courage grounded in obedience through the Word, the teacher himself, Jesus Christ, the expression of God. Praise God. The commands of God really have nothing to do with material possessions. This building, moving. You know, what God wants is obedient hearts. Because he already possesses this land. He loves the people here. And he just wants us to reach out to them. Now, there was an incident that happened after the Israelites got into the promised land. And when they went to take that first town of Jericho that I talked about with the walls falling down, one of the commands God gave was, do not take any of the gold and silver and prized possessions. Set them aside for me. Do not take them for yourselves. That was a command of God. And they thought everybody obeyed that command. But it turned out that one man in particular did not, and his name was Achan. And he took one of those possessions for his own. And he thought, what difference is it going to make? If no one finds out, it's not going to matter. There's all of these things. God has plenty. The people won't know. However, the next battle they went to fight, they lost. And this brought question to Joshua and the leaders. Hold on a second, God. You said that we were going to have all the promises that Moses had, that we would be victorious in this land. You were giving it to us. Now, why would you remove your hand? It was one of those questions again where they're saying, you know, God, the job description we give to you is that you're supposed to make us happy and prosperous and always win, and this is going to be a cool thing. And God says, no, my job description is to encourage growth in you, and there's someone in your camp who has disobeyed. And it turned out that after they sought God, that Achan came forward and said, I disobeyed. I took this possession that I wasn't supposed to take. And his sin was atoned for. And that's a nice way of saying he and his family were taken out and stoned to death. Thank God we live under grace. But the issue is that there was disobedience in his heart. He made a choice to disobey. After that sin was atoned for, they went out to the next battle. And they won. They had grown in understanding what it means to be obedient, mixed with a boldness and a courage. It's not be bold and courageous and go do your own thing. It's be bold and courageous under my guidance and how I give you direction. And in the very next battle, God said, take whatever you want. Take all the plunder. It's fine. And so really, this does not have anything to do with material possessions, but it has everything to do with the heart of the people. And that's what we come to today, New Vision. As we begin fresh in this new place, with a new start, with a new year, the new vision that we have is that we may be called on to be bold and courageous in new ways. I say we may be. I am absolutely sure we are going to be called on because God has moved us further into the promised land. We have shown ourselves faithful. The leadership has chosen a stance of obedience. Now, does that mean that there's absolutely no sin in our camp? No, because I'm here. Because I'm here leading it. But I also know that many people here suffer maybe from chronic habits that you know you need to step back from and away from. And often we think, will that little thing make any difference? It will make a difference. Do you accept the job description that Jesus has for himself for your life? That he wants to see you grow in him. And are you willing to allow him to do whatever it takes in order for you to grow? To recognize that it's not going to be built on an emotional response, but it's going to be built on you having a relationship with the Word and in the Word. And taking the Logos of God and using that to mature yourselves, ourselves, so that we are ready to go on to whatever he calls us next with a stance of obedience and with a choice to be bold and courageous, because what God says is going to happen is going to happen. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you because all things are new with you. Every day you bring a newness to us. You bring hope every day. And God, just because our faith is not hung on emotions doesn't mean that you don't fill us with great feelings of love and joy and peace. All of those things, Lord God, are a part of your presence of your Spirit in us. But God, help us not to grow expectant of those things proving your hand in our lives. Help us, Lord God, to listen to you. And when we have something to confess, help us to be bold and courageous in confessing so that we can be restored to you in a way that will bring further blessings. God, I thank you for a new start. We needed this. We needed something new. And not only did we need this, but you need us here. And we don't know why for sure, except that we want to come before you today and say, we choose obedience. And we also choose to go forward when you say to go forward. And that we choose to be reminded that we do that with a stance of a boldness and a courage that's only available because we're listening to your word and following your call on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.